Well, after talking about politics last week, I am so glad to be able to talk about something much easier today, sex. Today we're talking about sex. And this all sounded like such a great idea 14 months ago when we planned out this series. Like, let's just hit all of them at once. And if Sean today could go back and talk to young, naive Sean back then, I'd say, why don't you just pace yourself a little bit more? But after a lot of prayer and prep, you can just call me Salt and Peppa, because I am ready to talk about sex, baby. You guys ready? Let's do it. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, I really wasn't sure how that was going to go. And like, my inner Jim Gaffigan voice is like, you can't say that in church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's where our text is going to be today. We are in week 3 of this series, Under Construction, and the idea behind it is that our faith is always undergoing this like renovation project. We are always putting up pillars or taking down pillars. We put up pillars that maybe aren't in Scripture. They're not in the blueprints. And the problem with that is that oftentimes those pillars are the very first thing that people see when they look at our faith. Or those pillars get in the way of them finding and following Jesus. On the flip side of it, there are those pillars that are in the blueprints, but because they feel outdated or in the way, we pull them out. And when we pull them out, it's not long until we look up and we start seeing some cracks forming along the ceiling of our faith. Walls start crashing in. It's why so many people who have deconstructed their faith oftentimes get to the end of what can be a good process, but they've deconstructed their faith to the point where there's just no faith left at all. They've taken a sledgehammer to the whole thing, the pillars that they put in, others put in, but then also the pillars that Scripture has put in. And so while the temptation last week with politics is to put up pillars that aren't in the blueprints, the temptation with sex is to tear out the pillars that are, because they feel dated and out of touch with today's culture. What we're seeing in our world is that we have torn out pillars that are in the blueprints, and we've put in new ones that say, my sexuality, my sexual expression is the most important thing about me. Even inside of the church, many have stopped listening to God on this topic because if we're honest, we don't like what he says. And so it's easier for us to change what we believe. Or like Bill Butler, who just one of our Sunday school teachers, attends the 8 o'clock service, faithful man of God. Bill Butler told me this morning, Sean, we've avoided these issues for so long that most people don't even know how to think about them, especially our kids or our grandkids. The church has been so silent on this issue. And in terms of, I mean, the church has been very loud in other ways about this issue, but in terms of what Scripture says, the church has been silent. And meanwhile, the world around us is shouting its dogma at us. And so it's no wonder why so many, again, especially those in the younger generation, have just kind of adopted the world's ideology about sex and sexual identity. But my conviction is that in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with sex, that talks about it all the time, God's voice ought to be heard too. I mean, after all, sex was his idea. God created it. In fact, the very first command that God gives to Adam and Eve is this: be fruitful and multiply. God essentially turned on the Barry White music, closed the door behind him, and said, I'll just leave you two alone. And not only was it his idea, but he created us, our bodies, physically and physiologically to enjoy sex, not just to use it for procreation, for it to bind, two people together physically and emotionally and even spiritually in a pleasurable way. Like, God did not have to design sex to be so enjoyable, but he did because he is a good God. It kind of gives new light to James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, even sex. But like all of his gifts, the gift of sex is best experienced in the way that he designed it, within the boundaries that he set around it. And God did not set boundaries around sex to keep us from enjoying something, but to really maximize the joy and satisfaction that it can bring. These pillars that God put in the blueprints of our bedroom are meant to protect us from guilt, from shame, from pain that so often accompanies sexual sin. And what we see from the beginning of creation is that God's design for sex is for it to be enjoyed between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. Everything else falls outside of God's design. It's not in the blueprints. God established this relationship between sex and marriage in the creation of the world. He says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And so God created sex, and then he set boundaries around it to provide the most joy and satisfaction and to protect our hearts from the pain and brokenness that it can cause when used outside of his design. But what we have seen throughout history is that sin destroys what God designs. Sin destroys what God designs. And so what God meant to be this beautiful, enriching, enjoyable act between a husband and a wife, sin has distorted it and twisted it. And it's led to so much confusion in our world and pain in our lives. My life. Maybe your life. And many of us in here have experienced that pain. You gave yourself to someone who promised that they would never leave you, someone that you thought cared about you, and now you are left with all kinds of regrets, giving away things that you can't get back. It hurts. And maybe your sex life with your spouse isn't what you would like for it to be, and it is this constant source of tension and frustration between the two of you. It's left you feeling unwanted and unloved, and maybe it's left them feeling the same way, and now the issue is so deep that you don't even know how to talk about it without an argument breaking up. Maybe you've experienced broken relationships because of your sexual sin or because of someone else's. Your husband or wife cheated on you, and now you are left carrying that pain. And maybe you have broken trust because someone forced themselves on you. And that affects you still today. Pornography and casual hookups turn sex into a selfish act that meets my needs, satisfies my desires. They objectify people made in the image of God for our own gratification. And you may be asking yourself right now, why does God care what happens in my bedroom? Like, God, stick to what happens in the church. Leave the bedroom to me. And I think the reason why God cares about it so much is because he cares about what goes on in your heart. God cares about what is going on in your heart. The same God who created you also created sex, and he knows that anything outside of his design is only going to lead to brokenness, pain in your life. I've shared this analogy before, but our home has a fireplace in it. And on those cold winter nights, which brace yourself because they are coming, before we know it, they'll be here. And on those cold winter nights, we love to just kind of open up the fire and snuggle underneath some blankets and spend some time together as a family in our living room. Fire in a fireplace, where it is supposed to be, is good. It is peaceful. It is beautiful. It is relaxing. But now imagine that same fire taken from the fireplace where it belongs, and now it's like you have a fire burning in your kitchen. Like, that is a different story, right? Like, if you have a fire in the kitchen, it is not peaceful. There is chaos and screaming. Smoke alarms are going off. You're trying to search for the fire extinguisher that you bought like 15 years ago and praying that it still works. People are running out of the house. It causes damage that has to be repaired. And what's the difference? They're both fires. The difference is that one fire was burning where it was designed to burn and the other wasn't. Sex and the way that God drew it up in the blueprints brings warmth and connection. It draws people together into a deeper level of emotional intimacy. But used outside of God's design, it can be like a raging fire that is out of control and causes damage and destruction wherever it goes. That is why God cares about this. It's because he cares about you. And so when God puts up boundaries around sex, it's not because he's being prudish. It's not because he's embarrassed by it. Like, ooh, I hope that they don't find out about this thing that I created. It's because he loves you. And I think one of the clearest pictures of that is in our text today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to start in verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, I have the right to do anything. And so he's actually here in verse 12, he's quoting some of the poets and philosophers in the city of Corinth. And so they say, you know, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. It's kind of Paul's commentary on that phrase. I have the right to do anything. Yeah, but I will not be mastered by anything. And you say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so Paul starts by clearing up some common misconceptions that the Corinthians had adopted from their own culture. Like so many people, even in our own culture, they treat sex as purely a physical act, as if it is only a bodily function. It's only this physical appetite that needs to be satisfied instead of the cherished gift that it is. And so he quotes their own philosophers, and then he basically asks, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to buy into your cultural understanding of sex and sexuality, or are you going to submit to the one who created it and you? And I think that question is still so relevant for us today. We are well-versed and indoctrinated in our cultural's narrative of sex and identity. Our sexuality and the expression of it, our sexual identity, these things are idolized and elevated above everything else as if it is the most important part about you. And even those who are followers of Jesus have bought into this lie. And what Paul is doing for the Corinthians, he's also doing for us. He is saying, no, you are so much more than that. So much more. He's challenging us to take a step back, to reconsider the blueprints and decide whose plan are we going to build our life on. And when we look at God's design, we find that our sexuality has greater meaning and purpose than just this bodily, physical act. He goes on in verse 14. It says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And so Paul's conclusion on this, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And this final summation is you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Our bodies are not our own. If we are in Christ, those bodies have been bought with a price. And Paul uses the practice of temple prostitution to highlight the spiritual component to sex. And, you know, it's interesting. We oftentimes like to think that maybe we live in the most sexually advanced and open culture of history. At least a lot of people in our world like to think that. But I don't think that it even holds a candle to what Paul would have experienced as he walked through the streets of Corinth. Temple prostitution being one of those things. And by pointing to this, Paul is making this connection that sex is not just a physical act like we so often believe that it is. And he emphasizes this by rooting his argument in four different areas. First is the creation narrative. In verse 16, Paul points back to God's original blueprints laid out in Genesis 2 that we looked at earlier. In verse 14, he points to Christ's resurrection and our own. He says that our bodies are united with Jesus in this life and in the next. That whatever we do with our bodies now, we do it with the body of Christ as well. And so in verse 15, he asks, shall I take the body of Christ and unite it with a prostitute? In other words, shall I take the eyes of Christ and unite them to pornography? And shall I take the lips of Christ and kiss a woman who is not my wife? And Paul says that would be preposterous. It would be unthinkable to unite the body of Christ with something like that. Where I go, Jesus goes. What I watch, Jesus watches. Who I touch, Jesus touches. We are united in Christ's body, not just now, but for all of eternity. And third, Paul points to the gospel, reminding us that we were bought at the price of Jesus' blood. And so our bodies do not belong to us, but to the one who saved us, and we are to honor God with these bodies. And finally, Paul roots his argument for sexual holiness in the character and the nature of the Trinity. He appeals to us to consider God the Father who created our bodies, God the Son who redeemed our bodies and made them part of his own. He appeals to God the Spirit who indwells our bodies and makes us the temple of God, the place where he delights to dwell. Paul points to the Trinity and he urges us towards sexual holiness. And so sex is not just a physical action between two consenting adults in whatever way they want to express it. Sex is a reflection of the intimate character and nature of God. And so it makes sense that Paul would tell us in verse 18 to flee from sexual immorality, and then he implores us in verse 20 to honor God with our bodies. There is a deep spiritual component to our sexuality. And in those places where this topic has caused so much pain, in those places where we experience brokenness or confusion, man, as a church, we want to be a part of what God is doing to redeem and restore and renew what sin has taken away, what sin has destroyed. It's why we partner with ministries like Rafa International in Thailand, who who rescues young women out of sex trafficking and slavery. It's why we partner with ministries here in our own backyard, like Hope Resource Center down in Bedford, who is doing an incredible job of providing alternatives to abortion. Check out this video.
Good morning, Sherwood Oaks. This morning, we're pleased to have April Haskett with us from Hope Resource Center in Lawrence County. Let's begin with, what are your goals in ministry and some of the things that you offer?
We are a pregnancy care center and medical clinic that guides, empowers, and equips women and families to embrace life and live transformed by the grace of God. Everything we offer is completely free and confidential. We offer free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds to confirm those pregnancies and let them know exactly how far along they are. But then we're not gonna say, congratulations, you're pregnant, have a nice life. We're gonna walk with them through that journey. So we have parenting classes where they can learn actually how to take care of that child. So by the time they graduate our 10-week parenting program, they've got everything they need, skills and material items to take care of those babies. But then we also do STD, STI testing and treatment for men and women in Lawrence County. We go to the jail every Friday, do testing and treatment and ultrasounds for anyone incarcerated. We have support groups for abortion recovery, for infant loss, miscarriage, and stillbirth, and for teen moms and dads. Material assistance too. Anybody can come in and get diapers, wipes, soap, lotion, food, baby food, anything they need to take care of a child. We were blessed a few years ago with the Hopeville, which we acquired for a dollar. It was brand new, equipped with the ultrasound and everything. So it's a mobile pregnancy care center on wheels. And we're able to take it to the jail and to surrounding counties.
How has Hope Resource Center impacted the county?
We should hit almost the 7,000 mark this year of client services. We get to see these women come in literally scared to death. And just helping them take a deep breath and relax and know that they're not alone. And then when they come in with those babies and they're just beaming, and you can literally see a change in their demeanor and their glow because they're no longer captive to that fear.
How can we best pray for the ministry?
We have seen more abortion-determined women come through our door than ever before, simply because they want to know how far along they are. So pray for us that we rely on the Holy Spirit to speak truth into their lives and let them see that that's a life growing inside of them. We're praying for some ultrasounds. We need to add a couple more ultrasounds.
What is the cost of an ultrasound machine?
I just got a quote for $102,000. That is three new machines with ours as a trade-in.
Thank you for your time, and thank you so much for the services you've offered to so many people. Sometime on the other side, there's going to be a long line of children saying thank you to you because they're there.
Praise the Lord.
I love that. Can we praise God for the Ministry of Hope Resource Center? It's so good. So good. Two words that have been going through my mind leading up to this sermon is conviction and compassion. Conviction and compassion. And I don't know that there are two words that better describe April and her team at Hope Resource Center. They have conviction, but they have incredible compassion for the people that come through their doors each and every day. Almost 7,000 they're expecting this year. You know, when it comes to sex and sexuality, there is a lot of pain that it can cause, which is why we want to emphasize that compassion part of it too. And unfortunately, a lot of that pain has been inflicted by the church, maybe not this church, but like the big C church, capital C church. And if the church has added to pain in your life in this area, I'm so sorry for that. I know that this can be a difficult and confusing topic, and then when you add on layers of judgment, it can just make it even harder. And at Sherwood Oaks, we want to be a place that lovingly stands on God's truth with that conviction, but then also leads people to his grace with that compassion. I believe that grace is the root from which holiness grows, that when we experience God's grace in our lives, then we want to start building a life of holiness that bears the fruit of the Spirit living in us. And so if you have experienced hurt or judgment or shame in this area in your life, our desire is for you to experience God's grace in these walls. And then join us in pursuing holiness in every aspect of our lives, including our sexuality. And one of the main groups that has been beaten up by the church is the LGBTQ plus community. If you identify as LGBTQ, I just want you to know this morning that you are welcome at Sherwood Oaks. God loves you. We love you. You can belong here. And I'll be honest with you, because I want to share compassion, but also conviction. And so I'll be honest and tell you that at Sherwood Oaks, we are not an affirming church. Our position is that the practice of homosexuality is outside of God's design for sex and for marriage. And so we cannot affirm that lifestyle, just like we would not affirm any lifestyle that falls outside of God's designs, even for this, including cohabitation, living together, sexual activity before marriage. Please hear me on this. While this is our position, our posture is one of love and grace for those who find themselves with same-sex attraction. We hope that Sherwood Oaks is a place where you feel like you can belong. Like, we really do believe that finding your people changes everything. When you find your people, you find that life change and the gospel change happens within the context of community. It always has. And so when you surround yourself with a community, we can come alongside of each other and grow in our faith and our surrender to Jesus in all aspects of our life, including our sexuality. And I know that this is such a difficult topic. And it's maybe caused a lot of pain for you. It's caused a lot of pain for someone that you love. And so I want to share some resources with you as we close today. There's a website that I found helpful in my own life and ministry I've shared with others. It's centerforfaith.com, centerforfaith.com. The ministry is Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender, and it's the best resource I found when it comes to this. And they have three studies that I want to point you to this morning if you are looking to take a little bit of a deeper dive on this topic. And the first one is for people who identify as LGBTQ+. It's a free course designed for people with same-sex attraction or questions and who are interested also in Jesus and in following him. And how do I take who I feel like I am over here, but also with this desire to pursue Jesus and a faith in him in my life? And so you can find this course. It's free on their online courses page. Again, centerforfaith.com. The second one is for parents or maybe grandparents who are looking for help navigating the journey of raising and walking alongside of their LGBTQ child. It gives some great insight and practical tools for how you can faithfully love them well, how you can live out that conviction with compassion and come alongside them. And then the third resource is for connect groups, and it's called Grace Truth. And it does an excellent job of helping followers of Jesus develop a biblical worldview around things like sex and sexuality, gender. And any of these studies can be done on your own. And honestly, that might be just what you need right now, that safe space to kind of do it on your own as you're trying to figure some things out. But if you'd like to go through them with a group, I invite you to reach out to Beth Long, blong@socc.org. Let her know what study you are interested in. And if we get enough people to form a group, we will. And let me close with this morning. I know that keeping the pillars in God's blueprints for sex and marriage is hard. That's why so many people have maybe torn them down, even followers of Jesus. Like, this is an emotionally charged subject. It's deeply personal for so many of us. And I imagine all of us have questions about it, things that we're wrestling through with it. And so, yes, by keeping the pillars in where many others are ripping them out, it, and we don't mean for it to, but I know it puts us at odds with the culture around us. But many of us have seen what happens when you take them out. We've seen the hurt and the pain and the destruction that it causes. And so we unapologetically stand on God's design for sex and marriage as a gift to be used in the way that He designed it. And we do so because we trust in Him and we believe that He knows best, even if it does not make sense to us. He's the one who created it, and He's the one who created our hearts, and so we trust Him. But with that said, we will always, always take a posture of grace and humility, recognizing that so many of us carry around wounds in this area. And with all of the pain and brokenness that sexual sin causes, we will stand on God's truth. We will fall on His grace. We will take the posture of Jesus and humbly come alongside of you as you pursue holiness in your sexuality, as you pursue maybe healing. And we do it without judgment, because grace says that no matter where you have been, grace says that no matter what you have done, grace says that no matter what has been done to you, God loves you. And He has not given up on you. And we won't either. God, thank You for Your compassion and Your kindness to us. And one of the ways that that is seen is how You have given us clear teaching on this. We don't have to guess where You stand. And Lord, You've done it in a compassionate way that just shows that You care about us, You care about our hearts that You created, and You know how this gift is best used. And so Lord, in those places where we have stepped outside of Your design, we have taken down pillars that were in the blueprints, Lord, would You please bring healing to us, forgiveness, grace. Give us the courage if there's a place where we need to put something back into our faith that we do. And help us to live in this perfect tension that Jesus modeled of grace and truth. And in doing so, Lord, a world that is watching and that is hurting from following the narrative that our culture preaches, may we be a place where they can find comfort, they can find grace, they can find their true identity and meaning and purpose and value in You, Jesus. Thank You for grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.